Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Six Nights in Paradise by Ashley Cade. Narrated by Stephanie Kay and Gideon Frost. Prologue. Taylor. This is it. It's finally happening. I leaned against the driver's side door of his hand-me-down Tahoe. It was a faded hunter green with cracked leather seats and the permanent stench of fast food and pizza clinging to the interior. But I didn't care. It was his car. I'd ridden in it at least 100 times, but never just the two of us. Tonight was going to be different. Tonight, I would make him mine. I'd finally gotten up the courage to approach him and tell him how I felt. He would be graduating in less than 4 months, so this was my last chance. I waited for him to emerge from the gym. He'd sunk the winning shot in the final game before playoffs started, and was most likely just now showering after a long and raucous celebration with his teammates. I could be patient. I'd been waiting for this moment for 3 years. Ever since I realized I was madly in love with him. I had a plan, and nothing was going to stop me from executing it tonight. Not even if I had to wait hours for him to come out of the locker room. When the side door finally opened, I straightened my stance and wrapped my arms around my body, portraying the abandoned little sister left out in the cold. My expression morphed into one of innocence, belying my sinful intentions. He waved goodbye to someone still inside and walked toward his waiting vehicle, a relaxed smile playing on his lips as he watched his feet. When his gaze lifted and he caught sight of me, his smile fell away and his expression turned serious.
"Taylor, what are you doing out here? It's freezing."
He picked up his pace, his long legs eating up the distance between us quickly. His hands came up to frame my arms, rubbing up and down to warm them. I felt the heat of his touch, even through the layers of stuffing in my winter coat. "I missed my ride," I said, letting my eyes drift to the ground, pretending to be embarrassed. "I saw your car still here and was hoping you could take me home."
"Yeah, of course. Get in," he instructed, unlocking the doors.
I slid into the passenger seat as he fired up the engine.
"Why didn't you call somebody?"
he asked, a hint of scolding in his tone. I hated when people treated me like this, like I was some kind of child. He was only 3 years older than me. I let it slide, though. I didn't think there was anything I couldn't forgive him for, and he seemed so genuinely concerned.
"It's way too cold to be waiting out here."
"Phone's dead," I shrugged, the lie falling easily from my lips.
"Oh."
He cranked up the heat and pulled out of the parking lot, heading toward my house, the streetlights casting their soft glow over the blacktop. "Can you just," I began with a sigh, "not take me home yet?" He glanced over at me, and worry creased his brow.
"Why not? Is something wrong?"
"I'm just not ready to go home." It wasn't a lie, but it wasn't quite the truth either.
"Where do you want to go?"
he asked in confusion, glancing at the clock on his dash. It was getting late, and my curfew was quickly approaching. I had less than an hour to execute my plan. I was running out of time and needed to make my move. I bit my bottom lip, suddenly nervous. What if he rejected me? What if I'd been imagining all those looks he'd thrown my way? The seemingly accidental touches when he brushed by me in the kitchen or in the media room? I took a deep breath, preparing myself. It was now or never. "How about Hunter's Point?" He slammed on the brakes so hard, my body jutted forward, the seatbelt scraping the side of my neck as his SUV skidded to a stop. His eyes flashed to mine, and I sucked in a breath. Hunter's Point was the makeout spot for kids at our high school. Asking him to take me there made my intentions perfectly clear.
After a few intense seconds, he shook himself and looked away, easing his foot down on the gas pedal. He drove in silence for a moment before pulling off into an abandoned parking lot. Shifting into park, he gripped the steering wheel with both hands and stared out the window, his shoulders and jaw tense. Finally, he returned his gaze to me and shifted in his seat, angling his body toward mine. I unbuckled my seatbelt and leaned across the center console.
Taylor, we can't do that.
He looked pained when he said it, as though he didn't really mean it, and it hurt him to lie to me. Why not? I asked, my voice low and seductive. At least that was how it sounded to my ears.
You're Aiden's baby sister. He'd kill me if I so much as kissed you.
His eyes fell to my lips, and I licked them. The action was involuntary and subconscious, but exactly the right move. His eyes flared with heat, and he sucked in a breath. Before he could stop me, my mouth was on his. I kissed him, pressing my hands against his chest. His heartbeat skyrocketed under the hard planes of his pectoral muscles. And he kissed me back. I opened my mouth and his tongue slipped inside. He tasted like Gatorade and cinnamon gum and, oh, what a delicious taste it was. We lost ourselves in the moment, and I reveled in the feel of him, of the soft pressure of his lips against mine. Finally. Suddenly, his hands were on my shoulders, pushing me away. Our mouths broke apart, and he stared down at me, his breath coming in and out in rapid little bursts, like he'd run out of air. He turned from me and ran his fingers through his hair in frustration.
Damn it,
he cursed, slapping his hands against the steering wheel.
Don't do that again,
he demanded without looking at me.
What? I cried. How could he say that? We were having a moment. We finally kissed, and I was ready to make him mine, to become his.
I don't think of you like that,
he declared and then winced.
What the hell?
But, I began, fighting back tears.
You kissed me,
I said, touching my fingers softly to my lips, trying to capture the feel of his kiss and commit it to memory.
No, he bit out. You kissed me.
Why was he so mad about it? He seemed to like it just fine a minute ago. Now he was acting like it was a mistake. He regretted kissing me. And there I was, preparing to offer up my virginity to the boy I'd been crushing on since seventh grade. My face flamed with mortification. He doesn't want me. He never wanted me. How could I be so stupid? Take me home, I demanded with a sniffle. Tears slipped down my cheeks, and I turned away from him, staring out the window pointedly. He reached for my hand, whispering my name, but I jerked it away as soon as I felt his touch.
Just take me home, I repeated.
He sighed and shifted into gear. The short drive home felt like an eternity, the quiet discomfort a suffocating third wheel nestled between us. I regained my composure and dried my eyes, hoping no one would notice I'd been crying. When he finally pulled into my driveway, I got out before he could say anything and bolted to the door. I fumbled with my keys, my hands shaking, the sound of blood rushing in my ears. A hand on my forearm startled me, and I dropped them, the bundle of metal landing with a dull thud on our welcome mat. He bent to pick them up and slid the pink key marked home into the lock, opening the door to my salvation. Before I could get away, his hand landed on my arm again, his grip gentle, apologetic. I looked up into his pained eyes, and my heart cracked open a little.
Please don't tell your brother about this, he pleaded,
a hint of fear tightening his features. I frowned, not expecting that to be the last thing he said to me tonight. "Don't worry," I assured him. "I'm not going to tell anybody about this." He hung his head and scrubbed a hand over his face, his eyes full of regret. Before he could say anything else, I stepped inside and shut the door, shutting him out entirely. We never spoke of the incident, pretending it never happened. But he came over less and less, most likely to avoid running into me. When he was there, I found a reason not to be. When he left for college, I breathed a sigh of relief, glad not to have to face him, or what I thought was the biggest blunder of my romantic life. Turned out, I was capable of far worse.
Chapter 1. Dalton.
"I can't believe she called off the wedding with only 5 days to go,"
Aiden fumed from the corner of the island, both hands braced against the marble, his jaw clamped tight as he shook his head. My eyes remained locked on the counter, varying hues of gray, silver, and white swirling over the speckled surface. I let the tranquil pattern lull me into a false sense of peace. I should have been fuming too. "At least she didn't leave me standing at the altar," I mumbled, before taking a swig of my beer. "Silver lining, I guess," I offered with a shrug, still in shock from the bomb my fiancé, well, ex-fiancé now, dropped on me 2 nights ago. Gianna and I had been engaged for nearly 2 years. Our wedding was supposed to go off without a hitch this weekend. She and her mother had planned everything down to the last detail. The caterer was booked and had been paid months ago. Our venue was the most sought-after wedding destination in the city. We'd secured our date and paid our deposit as soon as I slipped that ring on her finger. The wait list was a mile long, and if we hadn't secured our spot that very moment, we would have missed out on the prime date during peak wedding season. Thank God her parents were footing the bill for everything else except the honeymoon, because it put a serious dent in my savings. But I was more than willing to do whatever made her happy. Too bad it wasn't enough.
"How can you be so calm about this?" Aiden asked incredulously. "She called off your fucking wedding," he nearly shouted, "after everything was paid for. You're never getting that money back."
I brought my hand to my face, pinching my brows together before scrubbing my fingers over my stubble-covered jaw. I hadn't shaved since that night, the night my world came crashing down on me. 2 nights ago.
"I can't do it, Dalton," Gianna announced from across the table.
We were at Exeter having dinner before everything became so hectic that we wouldn't have time to share a nice meal together until the rehearsal dinner. "Can't do what, babe?" I asked, before placing the bite of steak I had just sliced away into my mouth and chewing.
"I can't marry you."
My jaw froze mid-bite, and my gaze settled on hers. She wrung the napkin in her hands furiously, her lips pulled into a regretful frown. I forced down the inadequately chewed morsel and set my fork on the plate.
"I'm sorry,"
I croaked, shaking my head. Surely I hadn't heard her correctly.
"What was that?"
"I'm calling off the wedding. I don't want to get married."
A warm, metallic taste filled my mouth as I took in her distressed expression. I realized finally when my cheek began to sting that I'd bitten down so hard on the inside of it that I'd drawn blood.
"Don't you think that would have been important to tell me months ago?" I asked, my shock swiftly turning to fury. "You know, before I spent thousands of dollars to give you your dream wedding and honeymoon?"
I threw my napkin down, my appetite suddenly gone.
"I'm sorry," she whined. "I didn't want to hurt you."
"Don't you think this is hurting me?"
My anger turned to panic as the pain of what she'd said finally started to seep into my chest.
"Gianna, we're getting married in less than a week. If you're getting cold feet, we can talk about it.
We'll get through this.
We're,
she replied. What?
We were getting married, she corrected. I didn't want to do this to you, but I've met someone else.
The rage returned, hot and insistent, ready to boil over the edge. I flexed my jaw and covered my mouth with my hand. I wanted to yell at her, to shake some sense into her. But I couldn't. She had me at a disadvantage. We were in public, and the last thing I wanted was to cause a scene. She'd planned this out well. Who is he? I asked between gritted teeth, ready to commit murder.
That's not important.
The hell it isn't! My voice rose, drawing the attention of diners at other tables.
Keep your voice down, she hissed.
How can you expect me to stay calm when you've just told me you have a side piece and you're canceling our wedding, which, by the way, is only 5 days from now, because of him?
He's not a side piece, she said,
her mouth tightening in irritation.
We have a real connection.
Was this really happening? Was my fiancé really throwing away the last 3.5 years of our lives together to be with someone she had a real connection with? What the fuck?
Look, Dalton, things have been going downhill between us for a long time now,
she began, and I frowned. What the hell is she talking about? Our relationship was great.
Antonio makes me feel special. He makes me feel like you used to. I think I need to give what's blossoming between us a chance.
I'd heard enough. I couldn't listen to another word of this nonsense. Scooting my chair back, I stood and pulled several bills from my wallet, tossing them down on the table. I didn't know who this woman was, but she wasn't my Gianna. That much was clear. You're making a big mistake, I told her calmly. Not threatening, not warning, just informing. She would regret this. She'd always been impulsive, but never with anything as important or life-changing as this. Maybe if she took a day to think on it and got a good night's rest, things would be clearer for her in the morning. But they weren't clearer. Less than 24 hours after breaking off our engagement, she moved Antonio into her condo, and all that was left of her memories with me were packed in a cardboard box and sent to my office. What was supposed to be the happiest week of my life turned into a living nightmare. What am I supposed to do? I already lost my shit, I confessed, shame filling my chest. There's currently a hole the size of my fist in the drywall next to my bathroom mirror. Aiden's eyes widened and snapped to my face. Ugh, why did I just admit that? Totally understandable, man. Sometimes you just gotta let the demons out, he offered in understanding. She's been keeping some other guy's dick wet. I'm surprised you didn't rip the sink off the wall. I scowled as the rage I felt that night started to creep back in. My fists balled at my side, and my jaw clenched so tight, I thought my teeth might grind into dust. I thought I was over it. I thought I'd yelled, punched, and cussed my way past her betrayal. But hearing someone else say what she did out loud brought the pain and devastating anger back to the surface. I threw back my beer, chugging it all in one go before slamming the bottle back onto the counter. I was fuming, and not even an ice-cold beer could cool the flames. Aiden took in the tight set of my jaw, my rigid posture, and brooding countenance. Sorry, man, he apologized. That was insensitive. It was the truth, I ground out. And I needed to hear it. I needed to come to terms with what she'd done. She cheated on me. While I was planning our forever, anticipating the moment I'd watch her walk down the aisle in a long white dress, she was off screwing some guy who couldn't even manage to wear matching socks. That's right. I went to her condo to see what she'd thrown away our chance at happiness for, and saw him with his too long hair, mismatched socks, and paint-splattered t-shirt. He was an artist, she claimed. He looked like a hipster trying to find a sugar mama to fund his cannabis farm.
What are you going to do with your plane tickets and reservation at the resort?
His question brought me back to the present. That was actually my whole purpose for being there. Well, they're non-refundable, so unless I want to cut my losses, I have to find somebody to take her place and go with me. I looked at him pointedly, hoping he'd get the hint.
Oh, no, he began, straightening and holding his hands up. Don't look at me. There's no way I can leave right now.
Oh, come on, man. You're my best friend. We're both single. We'll be in another country. There will be beautiful women running around in bikinis and plenty of rum to keep us nice and comfy.
Dude, no. I'm up for a big promotion, and we have not one, but two major clients to meet with next week. If I spring a last-minute vacation on them now, I can kiss that promotion goodbye.
Shit. What about Travis? I asked hopefully, going down the line of our closest friends.
He's studying for the bar exam. No way he's going to take off right now.
Sean? I questioned, the hope starting to drain out of me.
Bethany will kill him. She only has a month left before the baby gets here, and she's already having contractions. He's not even allowed to leave the county right now, much less the country.
I pulled out my wild card. It was my last resort. Well, does Adam have anything going on?
He's in rehab, Aiden deadpanned. Again, he can't even leave the center for a couple more weeks. It's court-ordered this time, he added sadly.
I winced, hating myself for not knowing he had relapsed again. What kind of friend was I? A shitty one. Seemed like I couldn't do anything right these days. I lost my fiancé to another man, and couldn't even be bothered to keep up with the four guys who had been like brothers to me.
Chapter 2. Taylor. 2 weeks ago. Why did I answer my phone? When I saw it was the university calling, I should have just let it go to voicemail. I wasn't ready to deal with this. I wasn't ready to face the consequences of my actions. I'd been misguided and naive, and now I was paying for it. My hands wrung together, my foot tapping a fast-paced beat against the hardwood floor as I waited in the sturdy wooden chair outside the dean's office. This was it. I was about to get kicked out of school. What was I going to tell my parents? I'd have to think of something convincing, something so far from the truth that they'd never guess what I really did. While I was getting ready this morning, I did my best to look innocent, even though I was far from it. I had to convince them I belonged there, that I didn't do anything wrong, although nothing could be further from the truth. What I did was very wrong, and I knew it. This morning, I dressed in conservative clothes, ensuring my skirt wasn't too snug or short, and there was no cleavage showing. I applied minimal makeup, allowing the slight smattering of freckles across my cheeks and nose to shine through when I usually concealed them, and opted to wear glasses instead of putting my contacts in. I looked demure, non-threatening, inculpable. I needed them to believe me incapable of what I'd been accused. My heart leapt into my throat when I heard the door open and watched the dean emerge.
"Hold my calls," he instructed his secretary, and then his gaze slid to me. "Ms. Wesley," he greeted.
His tone was indifferent, professional. He wasn't thrilled to have me in his office, but he didn't outwardly show his disdain. I was confident this wasn't the first time he'd had this conversation with a student, and it probably wouldn't be the last. I stood from my chair and grabbed my purse, my hairline and underarms dampening with nervous perspiration. I suddenly regretted the sweater set I'd slipped into, hoping it gave me the look of a dedicated and rule-abiding college student.
It was far too warm for the knit material and long sleeves. At least my skirt was knee-length and didn't cover my legs entirely. I'd mercifully left the pantyhose off as well. Mr. Crawford motioned for me to follow him, and I did, smoothing a sweaty hand over my clothes.
"Have a seat,"
he instructed, pointing to the chair across from his desk. Another man I recognized but couldn't place was perched in the seat next to his. From the placement of my chair, I guessed that his chair had been next to mine, but he moved it away. They wanted to show a united front, to draw a line between us. Them on one side, and me on the other.
"Ms. Wesley,"
Mr. Crawford repeated after settling behind his massive, ornately designed desk.
"There have been some serious accusations made against you. Accusations of this nature require thorough investigation, and your cooperation would be greatly appreciated."
I swallowed hard, willing myself to keep my mouth shut until he was done speaking. I wanted to lie through my teeth and shout my confession all at the same time. If I could have lied, just denied the whole thing, this might have gone easier. But I'd learned years ago that lying never got me anything except hurt, so I vowed never to do it again. My heart raced as he read over a list of the things that had been reported to him about me. I gripped the arms of my chair, my fingernails biting into the soft leather. When he finished, he removed his reading glasses and set them atop the papers in front of him.
"Now," he began, folding his hands together, "what do you have to say about these accusations?"
My mind screamed to me, "Deny, deny, deny!" I wanted to. I wanted to make this all go away, to go back in time and make a different choice. But nothing could erase what I'd done. No amount of pleading or begging would make it go away. So I folded and told the truth. I told them everything.
Chapter 3. Dalton.
I have no idea what I'm going to do.
I raked my hands through my already messy hair and hung my head. There's nobody else I can take. I guess I'll just have to go by myself.
"Do you really think that's a good idea?"
Aiden asked, one eyebrow raised skeptically.
"I foresee you doing a whole lot of drinking while you're there, and you're going to be surrounded by water. I'd hate to see you get smashed, fall into the ocean, and end up drowning yourself."
"How do you even come up with this shit?"
He shrugged and took another swig of his beer.
"Just trying to think ahead, bro."
I shook my head, contemplating his concerns.
I supposed his points were valid.
I did plan on drinking myself into oblivion for the next week. The location and company were irrelevant, and if I was lucky, I'd fuck Gianna out of my memory.
"Speaking of drinking myself into oblivion," I popped the top off another beer and glanced up, catching sight of Aiden's sister, Taylor, entering the kitchen.
Both Aiden and Taylor still lived at home with their parents. Taylor was still in college, and Aiden was saving up to buy a house. There really wasn't any reason for either of them to move out. The house was huge, so nobody felt crowded or like anyone was constantly in their business. Their parents let them come and go as they pleased, as long as they cleaned up after themselves and didn't have rowdy parties. My mom had never been anywhere near as laid back as Mr. and Mrs. Wesley. Taylor froze when she saw me, and a little stab of pain pierced my chest. She didn't care much for me, hadn't for many years, and that was all my fault.
"Hey, Taylor,"
I greeted, my eyes tracking her movements.
"Hey,"
she offered in a small voice. She seemed a little down, even more sullen than usual. But she was still so beautiful, with her black-rimmed glasses perched on her small, slightly upturned nose and her hair pulled into a messy bun sitting atop her head with a few wispy tendrils snaking along her bare neck. I cleared my throat and averted my gaze, ashamed I could think about my best friend's baby sister that way. He would cut my balls off if he knew all.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?